Accession number 30059, Real 9.
We just flown X number of missions. It sure had some holes in it. And we patched the holes, and I said, let's make a real fine plush airplane out of this. Use it for a test bed. Put a lot of test equipment and everything in it, which we'll filch from wherever we can get it and put in there. It was a great airplane. And all the guns out of it, all the armor plate, which made it a lot lighter, and we could do a lot of things with it. Testing bomb shackles, a thousand, one thing. All the Disney work was done with this particular flying machine. Then we put out all of it, most of it was, and then when we finally got ready to get down to brass tack, we put the 2,000-pound Disney bombs on a fully operational B-17 so that we'd see if we were doing some coverage. And that's that B-17 is the one that I brought back to the States. And with as many people as I could lower the board, a couple motorcycles, about 50 cases of champagne, and there were all kinds of captured guns. And
no boxer belt.
No, Jack brought that one home himself.
Rowling all the way across the Atlantic.
And that was the B-17. When I was on terminal leave, I had this company, my family company. They'd been kind of neglected. My dad and my uncle went back to work while I went on active duty. Well, they had both retired prior to that. They went back to work and did the war work during the time I was gone. So here was a business that had to be kind of started all over again on a chosen field. So I took the B-17 and flew all over the United States with it, calling on customers. It was in October and November, just prior to my being mustered out. And it was kind of nice, you know, to have a bag with civilian clothes in it, a B-4 bag, and I put my uniform and I fly into an air base someplace, say Minneapolis, for example, and say just put in a couple of thousand gallons of gasoline or whatever, and yes, Colonel, and they put it in, they do whatever we want done. Bob Schaefer, was my right-hand man, who came to work for me after they bought the tools for the B-17 all over the United States. And calling customers, and have you ever seen a B-17? And oh my God, no customer eyes like this. And that was the open sesame. People that I'd known before, so they out at the airport, they troop. Or I'd call them in advance and tell them to be out there, and they'd swarm all over the B-17 and take them for a ride to catch me.
Terrific.
Because it was quite a neat trick, and finally, though, I decided that I had done all I could do with that B-17, what the hell was I going to do with it? This is true. Ben will tell you. And I kept saying to Ben on the telephone, Ben, what the hell am I going to do with this B-17? He said, I don't know. Keep it. I said, yeah, keep it, but it's been written off in the books, of course, but I had no more use for it. I couldn't comfortably need a B-17 and decide there was bound to be an inquiry of some kind. And I figured I could trace all these gasoline bills back all over the United States. You know, thousands and thousands of gallons, 100,000 gallons probably or more, all over the bloody country. And new propellers and this and all the maintenance work done up. I'd be in jail for life. So I said, Ben, you got to help me get rid of this airplane. And surreptitiously, somehow, because I could leave it, I could maybe drive it in and leave it someplace, but it's too good an airplane. I don't want to do that. Oh, I guess, you know, take it out to Wayne County Airport or someplace and just walk away from it. Ben finally called me one day and he said, you know that outfit you started, an all-weather outfit? And I said, yeah. I said, you need an airplane just like that. I said, you just got yourself a flying machine. So I flew it down to Lancaster, Ohio, where the base was, and got out of the airplane. Kissed it goodbye, literally, to the flying little flying machine. And they flew it on that all-weather run, which was really a continuation of work that we started in the UK, an all-weather operation. What do you have to do to operate in any kind of weather? Of course, in England, you've got a big opportunity to fly in all kinds of weather most of the time. And this started off as continued as a two trips a day between our airport and Washington, every day, regardless of weather. And I don't know how many trips this one particular airplane made. Came back into the home base on a very, very low ceiling one day and didn't quite make it, almost made it. The airplane busted up by the end of the runway. Most people got out, a few were killed. And I still have the tail of the airplane that they, bless their souls, they crated up and shipped to me. And I still have it. It's been sitting in a barn up in Arkansas. I'm in a room for a goddamn
B-17.
What am I going to do with it down here?
I was going to ask, you have it well hidden.
I don't have it around here. Al Key, that's the airplane that Al Key and I did all the work on the Disney bomb with. And there is a museum on the Meridian Airport, and Al Key was killed. He and his brother Fred was died a number of years ago, but Al was killed about 3 years ago in an automobile accident. And because he had done so much flying in this airplane, he was such a vital part of that airplane, that I offered the tail to the museum with the whole full history of the airplane. I had it all typed out, every mission that it had flown and everything else, all the secret work that had been done and so forth. A very interesting document. And they said, we don't have room for it.
Oh.
A one sentence letter, sorry, we don't have room for it. Yours very truly.
No sense of history.
Oh. So I still have it. And I just wrote my ex-secretary and said, I refuse to talk to those people down there. Again, please, you call this man, what his name was, and see if they've made a change of management on me, and tell them that tail section still sits there and belongs in the Key Museum. I haven't heard from them since.
It's crazy.
When we first started, this deals with a number of different names that were attached to our outfit. When General Hunter first put us in business, he said, I'm going to just call you the Air Technical Section. He said, anything wrong with that? I said, no, that's all right with me. And we were the Air Tech Section for quite a little while. Then Air Service Command, then General Hunter said, I think we're going to call it operational engineering. I said, that's all right with me. But what it is, I don't care. Just as long as we don't bother. It's just, name us anything you want. Then Air Service Command got real upset at some of the things we were doing. And particularly they were upset at the word operational engineering. Any mention of the word engineering, which they felt kind of pulled the carpet out from under what they were supposed to do. And they got General Aker to make us stop calling, made General Hunter stop referring to us as operational engineering. And they had suggested that they give us a name called Maintenance and Technical Services. Well, General Hunter said, you like that? I said, no way. They said, we'll have to use it for a little while till we can get something else. About that time, Doolittle took over the 8th Air Force, and he said, when he talked to me about it, he said, what about this MTS? And I said, no way. If they won't hold still for operational engineering,